365. Now, I would invite you to remind yourself that you are not here by accident. I would invite you to remind yourself that there are no accidents. So there's a reason why we're here together right now. And there's a reason why we're going to hear whatever we're going to hear. And so if there's some issue or some situation in your life that's going on right now that you might not be giving yourself peace about, there's a possibility that what we're getting ready to do may give you some guidance from Spirit about another way to look at it and another way to handle it. Because all of us have what we call our issues. The thing that we're using right now to make us forget we're children of God. Which the Course says that's the purpose of it. It's to make you forget that you're nothing but a powerful love of God. That is what the problem is. That's what the upset is. Or whatever it is. So this section is called Setting the Goal. And when it says Holy Spirit, it's talking about your higher self, God, your guide. And everybody has one, but in this culture, we are not really taught to believe that we have one in a way. We are taught to believe that the criterion for maturity is how much you can live by your own judgments without checking into Spirit. And that's the error. And so the Holy Spirit, the Course teaches, is just that part of you that is in touch with your real self, with God, with the universe. And it's also aware of what you think you're living and what you think you're going through. And to get in touch with the higher self is the way we get to the peace that we want, because once we get peace, we can hear our guidance. And when you can hear your guidance, you know exactly what to do in every situation. One of the ways we can tell that we haven't been listening to the real guidance is that if you're listening to your real guidance, you feel complete peace and you feel love and you feel fulfilled. If you're listening to what you're telling yourself, then whenever you achieve it, you're never satisfied. You still are wishing that something else was happening other than what's happening, and you wish you were somewhere else other than where you are. That's how you can tell the difference, according to the Course, between when you're listening to the voice of the ego, which is the voice we made up, and when we're listening to the voice of God. One is going to be fulfilling and is going to make you feel peaceful and like you're centered and focused and you know what the hell is going on. And the other one just sends you right back on another chase again to see what we can find outside yourself this time that we think is going to do it for us. So tonight's section is called Setting the Goal. And I'm going to read through it first. It says the practical application of the Holy Spirit's purpose is extremely simple, but it's unequivocal. In fact, in order to be simple, it must be unequivocal. When it says simple, the simple is merely that which is easily understood. And so for something to be easily understood, it's apparent that it must be clear. If it's going to be easily understood, it must be clear. If it's going to be easily understood, it must be clear. And what's simple is what is easily understood. And for something to be easily understood, it's apparent it must be clear. The setting of the Holy Spirit's goal, in the Course in Miracles, says that God's will for us is perfect happiness. So when it says the Holy Spirit's goal, it's really talking about our complete happiness, our complete joy, our complete peace. That's the goal. Is everybody in line with that goal? Is that everybody else want that?
Yeah.
Anybody here want that?
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay. I just want to check in. It's okay. It's okay to claim it. We can claim it. Anybody else want that?
Yeah.
All right. We want to be happy, right? We want some peace, right? We want love, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. That's how you scare your ego away. That's how you get rid of the old self. It's like you have to be present to say yeah. You had to come out of La La Land for a minute, and then you had to tune in to say, yeah. That's why a lot of times I repeat myself over and over again when I'm reading the Course, because I found that I don't hear it the first time. I hear it the second time, then the third time, then the fourth time, and all of a sudden I'm hearing what's being said to me. The resistance to this material is far beyond anything you can imagine. The resistance to this material is beyond anything you can imagine. What this material will do to make you resist it will freak you out. You will go completely unconscious. You think you're focused in, and then you just go completely unconscious. How many of you have had that experience that your mind just goes, you know, you thought you were here, and all of a sudden I started talking, and all of a sudden you remembered, you know, that you need to be somewhere else doing something else. It's like, so when I do the things that I do and I act the way that I act, it's because it's all about helping all of us get into the present. And I find when I get into my body, then I'm into the present. So really, it's about getting to a place where you're getting below the neck with the truth, where it's not just a head trip, it's a heart trip. So Spirit is telling us exactly what to do to set a goal of peace and to have the goal of peace. First thing it told us was it's going to be simple. And for it to be simple, it's got to be clear. And then the next line says, the setting of the Holy Spirit's goal is general. What does that mean? We generally want to be happy and want to have peace generally. Right? Then it says, now Holy Spirit, which is your higher self, will work with you to make the goal specific, because application is specific. I can say I want the truth, but I have to specifically apply it to every area of my life. I can say I want peace and a higher consciousness, but then I have to apply that specifically. If I say that I want to stop attacking people, then when someone is upsetting me, I have to specifically apply that by not attacking them. As long as we keep it la la, oh, I love everybody, oh, I just want to have peace with everybody, it's just playing the game. But when you can do it with your mama and your sister and your brother and your spouse and on the job and the person that's at the movie that's irritating you because they're telling you what's going to happen next before the next scene happens, that application is specific, okay? And so then it says there are certain very specific guidelines that Spirit provides for any situation, but remember that you do not yet realize these guidelines' universal application. There are specific things Spirit will tell you to do in every situation, but we don't know how to apply it yet to every situation. I don't know how to apply the truth to every situation yet. So it does have universal application, but I don't realize how to use it universally yet. Then it says to us, therefore, it is essential at this point to use these very specific guidelines in each separation, in each situation separately. So I have to apply the truth in every separate situation until I can more safely look beyond each situation in an understanding far broader than I now possess. So how do I get to the point that I apply the truth all the time? I start applying the truth specifically to different situations. So that means that if I'm with you and then we have an experience and I have a feeling, I say, well, I'm giving what I just experienced with you all the meaning that it has for me. That's a workbook lesson. Then I'm hanging out with you for lunch. Well, I'm giving myself all the meaning that being with you has for me. Then in the evening, I'm with you, I'm giving that experience all the meaning that it has for me. So that's the truth, that I'm giving every situation all the meaning it has for me. But if you notice, I'm applying it where? In different situations all day. Because he says, by continually applying the truth to different situations, you eventually achieve an understanding that's far broader than you have right now. We'll understand how to change any situation in the way we're feeling about any situation. Everybody with me on that? You're not going to get the truth if you don't apply to the people in your life, in every situation in your life, all the situations that's happening all day. I got to apply the truth. Or else it just becomes, I hear this in the class, and that's it. Right. Okay. All right, I'm doing that in case somebody was asleep. I want to help you out, okay? All right, so I wish I had everybody's permission to throw water on you. I would be glad to do that because it's just your ego trying to keep you in the same crappy thing that you're upset about, and it's trying to take you out. That you have to be proactive about your own peace. You have to know there's a part of me that's trying to block me and keep me from having peace, and I am going to proactively act in the opposite direction and grab hold to myself and go, hey man, you need to stop letting your mind wander. You need to focus on these ideas that's going to change your experience. You know, that's what the Course says, that we tolerate mind wandering too much, and that's why we go through so many changes, because we let our mind just go anywhere. So you're innocent, it's cool, but I'm just at this point in my own personal truth journey that I'm almost obsessed now with the application of it. And no longer the sitting around exchanging ideas, analyzing it, and all that stuff. It's like, it's time to let the rubber hit the road. It's either time to let myself have a new life or stop kidding like I really want one. Anybody else feel that way beside me? Yeah, it's like, come on now. This is not a hobby. Okay? This is not something you do, oh, should I go to the movie or should I go to a course class? Should I study my spiritual path or should I go down to the movie? You know what I'm saying? It's a point on your spiritual path where you have to go, I really am sincere about having the joy and peace that I know God meant me to have in my life. And I know I'm crazy. And so, therefore, I need to learn how to think correctly and let go of the stuff that's making me sad. And I need to admit, I don't know exactly how to do this. So I need guidance and I need a path or a curriculum that teaches me what to do. And I'm going to do what it says do. And I'm not going to try to make it up as I go along, which is what the average truth student does. They just try to make it up as they go along. They don't get a curriculum. Whether it's the course or not doesn't matter. The course is just a special form of the universal curriculum that everybody's learning, and everybody's not going to get it through the course. That's all right. I'm glad. I hope everybody can get it many different ways, because if people can get the truth many different ways, then it can happen faster. But if you got to convince everybody to go one way, you're never going to do it. Mm-hmm. So actually, it's better to trust the Spirit can reach people through whatever they're into, than to think they got to be doing it your way or else they're wrong. Which I grew up with that kind of spiritual philosophy as a Southern Baptist. It was like, this is the only way, and anybody's, and not only that, it would be my church. You know, it wouldn't just, it had to be that way, it had to be my particular church's way. And you all know about that. It wouldn't even just be in general. So I'm saying that that's a dumb plan. Okay? That is a stupid plan. And I don't think my Creator is stupid. It would be stupid to expect everybody to have the same theology. No sane Creator would say everybody's got to believe this way. So now you got to get everybody who don't even speak that language or believe that to all get over here in this. And then you see how the people who think they believe in it are. It's like the same thing in the course community. It's like people who study the course, everybody's got their opinion about what the course is saying, and they spend a lot of time just debating it instead of remembering the plan is simple. There are very specific guidelines. I have to learn how to use these guidelines in every situation separately, because when I get used to applying the truth to every situation separately, I'll end up having an understanding that's much greater than the understanding I have right now, and I'll know how to apply the truth in every situation, and I need to remember that. So, any questions about or comments about that first paragraph that I covered? Any clarification? I totally welcome questions about what I'm talking about. Okay. In any situation in which you are uncertain, the first thing to consider very simply is, what do I want to come of this? So if you're in a situation right now, the first specific instruction is to ask yourself, what do I want to come out of this? I'm in this relationship. What do I want to come out of it, though? I'm in this job. What do I want to come out of it? I'm in this world. What do I want to come out of it? So the first thing you ask, if you got a situation that's troubling you right now, if it's a financial situation or a spiritual situation, you ask yourself, what do I want to come out of it? What do I want to come out of this? What do I want to come out of my financial situation? What do I want to come out of my life? What do I want to come out of this situation? That's the first thing to ask. So if you got a situation that you know you were thinking about before you got here, and maybe even been thinking about since you've been sitting here, take a moment to silently ask yourself, what do I want to come out of this? What do I want to happen? For real. Like if somebody has a separation from me in a relationship, the thing I try to remember to ask them first is, do you want to separate or do you want to join? Before we get into this whole discussion and process, and you talking about what your problem is in our relationship and what we think we want to happen, let's make a decision at the very beginning that we're getting ready to go through this process because we want to join. We want healing. Now, if you want to join with me, if you want a healing with me, then I'm willing to go through the dance. If you really don't want to join with me, and you already know you want to separate, but you want to pretend like you really want to heal by us going through this debate and this argument, this clarification, then I'd rather pass. Because you pretty much know at the very beginning whether you want to join or whether you want to separate, whether you've had enough or whether you're ready for another round. We all do. We all do. So in any situation, ask yourself, what do I want to come out of? He says, what is it for? What am I doing this for? What am I with you for? What am I here for? Why did I come to this class? So ask yourself, what are you here for? And I'm going to throw that out to the group. What are you here for? Does anybody care to tell me why you're here?
For a good laugh.
For what?
For a good laugh.
That's why you're here.
Okay. The divine humor of the course.
The divine humor of the course. And it really is, it really is funny. It really is. It's hilarious. Anybody else? Yeah.
Shortcut. I have wasted too much time and I need to take the shortcut to make up for the lost time.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I want to save time too. Anybody? Why are you here?
I came tonight because I want to be challenged for right at my weak point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Me too.
Confront.
Take a look at it. Yeah.
I just want to keep growing in every which way I can and using as many tools that come along my path.
So you want to grow as many ways you can and use as many new tools as you can that comes on your path. Got it. Anybody else care to just share why they're here? Why they decided to come? Somebody come because somebody drugged you and you really don't want to be here. And you're like, what the hell am I doing here? Anybody like that? Yeah.
I want to remember who I am.
You want to remember who you are for real. Mm-hmm. Me too. Me too.
You're tired of learning the hard way.
Yeah. You know, you can learn the hard way, but there is another option.
Right.
Yeah. That's our hand over here. Yes, you did. That's all. That's all. Mm-hmm. Why are you here? Why are you here, Cole? Just to remember that you're innocent. That's a good one. This is a great place to come if you want to remember that you're innocent. Because that's my number one priority. I don't really care what people remember what I say. I just hope they remember that I'm telling them that they're innocent. That they may make mistakes, but they're innocent. You're not guilty. You're not sinful. I want to get rid of that core idea that we get. That's the worst one of all, that idea of being sinful and guilty. Because that's you being told that you are inherently weak or you have some flaw you were born with. And then you believe that, and then there's a creator who manifests through your beliefs. You turn around and create a life that's a reflection of that core belief in sin and guilt. So many people have a challenge in life because as soon as they got here, they were told they were guilty. They were told they were sinful. Not only that, they were told that they were the reason that the Son of God died. If that won't give you a guilt trip, I don't know what it is. You know what I'm saying? God, you know, you feel bad if somebody's dog died because you accidentally hit him. Now, you're talking about the Son of God. You're talking about, it sounds deep to me that I'm responsible for something that happened 2,000 years before I was born. Somehow or another, that don't make sense to me. But it makes sense to a lot of people. Because if you're guilty and you want to believe you're guilty and you want to keep believing that you're guilty, or if you want to believe somebody else is guilty, then you're going to subscribe to a belief system that's rooted in guilt. The only problem is you're the one that has to experience the result of the belief that you're projecting on everybody else, because that's the way universal laws work. So as soon as you see somebody else is sinful and guilty, then you're the one that receives the so-called punishment around that, because that's your belief system. So if you do something wrong, you create horrible circumstances for yourself because your belief system says you're sinful and guilty and deserve to be punished. And then people are wondering why their life is always so pitiful and pathetic and upsetting, and they don't realize it's because of that core idea of not being innocent. And that's why I hammer that in, because that's the core belief that needs to be dislodged, is the idea of guilt, separation, and sinfulness. That's the one. I want to believe in God. I know God is real. I just don't believe in a God that punishes and a God that's based on guilt and sin. I don't believe in a man in the sky. I believe in a love that created us, that's highly intelligent, that can take the form of a man. But it's certainly not the all in all. And it's like I didn't create myself. I don't know about you, but I don't remember doing it. So I can't assume you all didn't either. And we all have intelligence, so how can intelligence not come from intelligence? So therefore, what created us must be more intelligent than us because it created us. I think you're more intelligent than the cake you make. Right? You're intelligent enough to bake the cake. The cake is not more intelligent than the creator of it. We're not more intelligent than that which created us, so it just makes sense to me that if we were created, then there must be some way to communicate with what created me. It was also obvious to me that we don't know how to do it by the shape of the world we're in. That we may believe there's a creator, but we certainly don't know how to communicate with it. That's obvious to me, or we'd be getting better instructions or definitely acting them out more. Right? But if you decide to get that instruction for yourself, and that's what you want to happen, is for you to start to get your guidance, a way will be made for you to get that guidance if you're really sincere about it, no matter what you're studying. So somebody that really wants to be loving, really wants to have guidance, really wants to have peace, I don't care if they're in a Southern Baptist church, a Catholic church, no church, atheist, whatever they are, if they are sincere, then Spirit will reach them through the thing that they're involved with. And that's why I've met some beautiful Christians that studied the Bible, and I've met some Course in Miracles students that were psychos. Okay, so it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, one or the other. You know what I'm saying? So if you're sincere, no matter what you're in, Spirit will reach you and teach you. If you're insincere, it doesn't matter what you're into, you're still going to get a misperception of it. So that's cool. That's loving. Anybody else care to say why they're here?
Remember, healing, physical, emotional, spiritual, just all around.
All around. Yeah. Just physical, emotional, just all around healing. I know that's right, brother. Me too. And the Course says the healing comes from releasing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. So we're really here to undo, let go of blocks. And when we let go of the blocks, then we'll see that the healing that we want is already there. So we're not trying to put anything in us. We're just trying to remove the blocks to knowing it's already there. We're already whole. We're already complete. We're already perfect. We're already powerful. You just don't know it. That's it. So by saying what you want to come out of the situation, then the Course says the clarification of the goal belongs when? At the beginning, for it is this which will determine the outcome. So if you want to know how something's going to turn out, all you have to know is what your goal is. Because the goal determines how it's going to turn out. And most people are always worried about how it's going to turn out. When it's going to turn out the way your goal is. And then it says, in the ego's procedure, and when the Course says ego, it's just talking about the mind that doesn't know the truth. Okay? The separate mind, the mind that thinks it's separate and on its own. The regular mind. The kind we see every day. Okay? Okay. In that mind, the procedure is reversed. That means the situation becomes the determinant of the outcome, which can be anything. The reason for this disorganized approach is evident. The ego, the person that's unaware, doesn't know what they want to come of the situation. An unaware mind is only aware of what it doesn't want, and only what it doesn't want. Okay, so the Course says an unaware mind is just somebody who can always tell you what they don't want and what they don't like. So an unconscious person is always telling you what they don't want and what they don't like. Let's go out to dinner. Well, I don't want to go to Kentucky, and I don't want to go to Wendy's. And you go, where in the heck do you want to go? Let's go to the movie. Well, I don't want to go see Hancock, and I don't want to go see... But you see, they can always tell you what they don't want and what they don't like. They can never say, I want this. You want to go out to dinner? Well, I'd like to go here. Or I want God. Or I want truth. So the Course says, in the wrong mind procedure, it just always knows what it doesn't want, so it just lets a situation happen, and then when the situation happens, then we say, that's the outcome. I don't know what happened, it just happened to me, and I didn't have anything to do with it. The Course says, the ego is unaware of what it doesn't want, and only that, it's a mind that doesn't have any positive goal at all. It just knows what it don't like. I don't want a relationship like the kind I just had, where the person treated me wrong. It's not the same as saying, I want a relationship where the two of us support each other and want peace. I don't want a relationship where somebody cheats on me. It's not the same as saying, I want a relationship with a person that keeps their agreements. That is not the same thing. I don't want to be poor. It's not the same as saying, I want prosperity and abundance in my life. But the average person thinks so. So they'll say, I don't want to be alone. It's not the same as saying, I want somebody in my life to join in a relationship. So the wrong procedure is to always say what I don't like, what I don't want. Anybody got any questions about that? Any comments about that? Anybody clear on that verse, I ask, what do I want to come out of it? Because it's going to determine what happens. If I keep saying what I don't like, I don't have a positive goal. If I say what I don't want, I don't have a positive goal. If I say I don't like how this is going, that's not the same as saying I want it to go this way. It's the following up with what you want. It's the part that'll make the thing happen. So you can say what you don't like. And as a matter of fact, the Course has an exercise where he says that. You say, at least I can decide that I don't like what I feel right now, but I hope I'm wrong and I want another way to look at it. So if I am going to talk about what I don't like, I should be saying, I don't like it, and I hope I'm wrong about the way I'm seeing things. I want another way to look at it. It's a tendency with the Course in Miracles to go to sleep and unconscious on the solution and be totally awake on the problem. That's what I've seen in many years of teaching. That you can keep people's attention as long as you're talking about what their problem is, because that's how they occupy their life, to keep it from being boring. But when you start saying the answer, they tune out, because the answer would change their lives and therefore change their ego, and their ego doesn't want to change. So it makes sense to me that we go unconscious on the answer, because we would have to stay the way we are. But we would stay conscious on the problem, because it's the problem that we build our life around. So my identity is all about the problems I think I have. So I'm alert during that part. If you give me the answer, it'll change my identity, and my old identity doesn't want to change, so it sends me into unconsciousness when you start to give me the solution. Does that, everybody with me on that? That's why sometimes it's hard to tune in on the answer, because the answer means you'll change your mind and therefore change yourself. But yourself wants to stay the way it is. Yeah.
So is that an example of what you mean by resistance?
Exactly. Exactly. Resistance is basically nothing but I want to stay exactly the way I am without going through the suffering that entails. That's what the Course said most people want to do. Is that what they want to do is stay the way they are, but they just don't want to go through the stuff that the way they are makes for them. Okay, I'm scared to communicate to you in order to form a friendship with you, right? But I want you to tell me a way that I could not extend to people, not be friendly, not be loving, and still have loving relationships all around me. I want you to tell me how I can keep this financial lack attitude that I got, but become wealthy. I want you to tell me how I can stay jealous, but at the same time attract a safe relationship. I want to stay the way I am, but without the stuff that the way I am creates for me. The Course says that's the way we are. And so when we say it's time to do something different, then the part of us that's this way doesn't want to give up its life, literally. It's a psychic, alive energy, your concept of yourself. And that's why the resistance comes up. Thank God you aren't your ego. And that I'm talking to another part of you that really wants to change. And I'm not really interested in the part of you that you're making up, your made-up self. I'm not trying to teach that. It's your made-up self that hates me. And hates the truth. Because it has to go. The part of you that doesn't love you has got to go if you keep hanging around here. I'm sorry, you won't come here and be condemned. Sorry. Okay. Without a clear-cut positive goal set at the outset, the situation just seems to happen. Without a clear-cut positive goal set at the outset, the situation just seems to happen. It makes no sense until it's already happened. If you don't have a goal in the first place, you have situations that just seem to happen to you, and then it doesn't seem to make any sense until it's already happened. Then you look at the situation that seems like it's just happened to you, and then you try to piece together what the situation that just happened to you must have meant, and you will be wrong. Mm-hmm. Say it again. When you don't have a positive goal in the first place, you'll be the kind of person that situations just seem to happen to you, and it don't look like it makes any sense to you until it's happened. Then you try to look back at what happened, and you try to piece together what it must have meant, and you will be wrong. So every time something happens to you, and you try to piece together what really happened, the Course says, you are wrong. Why? He says, well, because not only is your judgment in the past, not only is your judgment in the past, but you really had no idea what should have happened. So how can you, he said, how can you figure out what happened in the situation if you didn't have any idea what should have happened in the first place? If I decided to come here to the church and I ended up downtown, then I could reasonably assume that what happened wasn't what I wanted to happen, because what I wanted to happen was to come to the church. If I didn't have a goal to come to the church and I just ended up being downtown, then I just try to figure out why I'm downtown. And I'd be wrong, because I didn't have no idea why I should be downtown. So when I piece it together, it really won't make any sense. And that's what he says we do all the time. We don't have a goal, the situation happens, we try to figure out what it meant. But we didn't have no goal about what it should have meant in the first place. So how could I tell if I was right or wrong? I'd have to know I was supposed to be at the church, but I ended up on the mall. Well, based on that, I made a wrong what? Choice. But if I didn't have a goal to be at the church and I ended up on the mall, I wouldn't even know why I was at the mall or whether it was the right place to be or the wrong place to be. And I just try to figure out, do I like being on the mall? I love this book. It's so deep. It's so deep, man. It's been fascinating me for almost 30 years. It's amazing. It's amazing. Then he says, no goal was set with which to bring the means in line. And now the only judgment left to make is whether or not your ego likes what's happened. Is it acceptable what's happened? Or does it call for vengeance? I'm on the mall. Do I need to get upset about this or be all right about this? That's what the Course says we do. We don't have a goal. We just have something happen to us because we don't have a goal, right? And then our only judgment is, do I like this or not? I'm here. I don't know why I'm here. Do I like being here or not? I don't know what I like or not. You know, I'm in this relationship. I don't know how in the hell I got in this relationship. Now it's a matter of, do I like being in this relationship or do I need to strangle them tonight? That's what the Course says all day. I'm in this job. I don't know why in the hell I'm in this job. I'm not particularly that I don't like it. But now, do I like the job or do I not like the job? I didn't really have a positive goal in the beginning. I just ended up here. And I just, man, that's true. Don't y'all see the truth of that? That when you don't have a goal, you just end up being the kind of person that things always just seem to happen to you. So if you're one of these people that it always looks like you got drama and something is seeming to happen to you, what does it mean?
You didn't have a positive goal to begin with.
Thank you. Say it again. Yeah, I didn't have a positive goal to begin with. I'm upset. I don't have a positive goal to begin with. This just happened to me and I don't know why. I didn't have a positive goal to begin with. People love drama. It's not that people like drama. People love drama. Because it gives some kind of stimulus to an otherwise very mundane existence. And it also gives them a sense of importance. You must be important since you're going through so much crap. And then you get a chance to think about it all the time and analyze it all the time and talk to everybody about it and try to give help. It's a way of making yourself special. It's a way of making your life interesting. So we get addicted to drama like you can get addicted to crack. And sometimes it's hard for people to be around a peaceful person who are into drama. When you start going for peace, you may be shocked to see how many of your friends drop out of your experience when you're actually more peaceful than you've ever been since they've known you. They love drama, and they want somebody to share their drama with. How many of you have been drama queens and kings? I've had, you had those periods in your life that it was just one drama after another drama after another drama after another drama, and then when it starts getting peaceful, it's like a party, you get a little bit afraid. So what's going to happen? Get scared. So the Course says that the absence of the criteria, I love this, the absence of the criterion for outcome set in advance makes understanding doubtful and evaluation impossible. Now, what did that just say? What is the absence of the criterion for outcome?
No positive goal.
Thank you. But this Course knows how the Course said the exact same thing, but it used a totally different set of words. It does that all the way through the book, which is genius. I'll tell you the same thing 1,000 different ways, and maybe one of those ways you'll hear it. So instead of saying goal, instead of saying the absence of a goal, it says the absence of what? A criterion for outcome when set in advance makes, so you can't understand a situation if you have no goal for what should have happened in that situation. And he's saying you can't evaluate a situation that you didn't have a goal. That's why I like to use analogies. if my goal was to come to church and I ended up on the mall, then I can evaluate accurately. I didn't end up where I wanted to be. But if I didn't have a goal, I would not have any means to evaluate what should be happening because I didn't have any goal in the first place. So if you're a person and you go, I don't know what's happening all the time, it just means you don't set enough positive goals for yourself. That you're focusing too much on what you don't like and what you don't want and think that's the same as asking for what you do want. That's the answer. Any questions about that? If I don't understand what I said, I don't mind clarifying. Anybody frightened by anything they've heard? Does it make sense? Just remind me.
Again.
Yeah, and I'll do that. I'll remind you again and again and again so I'll remember.
I mean, it's always out there, the reminders. It's just, I got to keep hearing it over and over.
And you know why you'll hear it over and over again? Because you set the goal to hear it over and over again. You have a positive outcome that you're trying to achieve. So you'll be able to tell and judge whether or not you're moving in the direction you want to go in because you set a positive goal, you know. And that's what's so cool about it, you know. Just like with your band, you set the goal to be in the contest. So everything you did was about making that happen because you had a goal. It wasn't like the night of the contest you were down on the mall, you know what I mean? But if you didn't have the goal to be there, you might have been there, especially with somebody cool as her. You know, I understand. Sometimes the goal changes, you know. You never get a chance to hear his band, FOMA. The name of his FOMA is Off the Friggin' Hook. I'm telling you. He can sing his ass off. But yeah, he's got a lot left, though, so you can still catch him a few more times before it's totally gone.
What's his name?
FOMA. FOMA. Yeah. So I'm glad that you gave me the goal to come down and hear you the other night. Because I didn't end up on the mall.
You ended up on the mall.
I know. So that's what you do. So what did I just do just the last few minutes? If you noticed, I applied the truth to every situation that I talked about, which is what it says you do at the beginning. You apply it to every situation that you're talking about until you get to an understanding that it applies to everything. You know, I'm going to do another advanced mind training on the 26th of July, which is a much more in-depth study of the course and the application of it for those who want to get hardcore. And it lasts 5 hours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. The financial investment is only $50. It's a limited enrollment, so if people want to come, I always encourage them to go ahead and pay in advance because usually more people want to come than I allow to come because I want to keep a certain level of intimacy so we can go deep. And I got the notebook over here for that. And I like to go deeper than I can go in an hour. I can take it 45 minutes into the hour. And so what I love about the AMTs is that I get a chance to really go all the way through from A to Z and really bring home how we can apply it. So that's what is advanced mind training. And that's going to be the last Saturday of July right here. Okay? That's my commercial. All right. The value of deciding in advance what you want to happen is, the value of deciding in advance what you want to happen is, the value of deciding in advance what you want to happen is, that you will perceive the situation as a means to make it happen. The value of deciding what you want to happen is that you will see any situation that you're in as a way to make what you want to happen happen. If I come in here and I say, I'm ready to make some new friends, and that's what my goal is when I walk in the door, then I'm going to see this situation of being with you as an opportunity to make new friends. Because I decided in the beginning what the situation should be about for me, so I'm going to use that situation to get that and to make that happen. So the value of setting a goal is whatever the situation you're in, you'll see it as an opportunity to achieve your goal. Like if the goal is for you, for more people to be aware of your group, and then I say to other people in the room that, hey, your group is really cool, well, then I use this situation as an opportunity to make that happen. So whatever the situations that you're in, they should just become another opportunity to make what you want to happen happen. He says that's the value of setting a goal, because then you'll know what to do when you're in a situation. That's just, again, that's one of those simple things that I always try to keep in mind. So before you go into any social gathering, get clear about what you're there for, so that you can see that gathering as an opportunity to achieve that goal. If you came to this gathering because you wanted to wake up to who you really are or stop learning the hard way, then you see this class as an opportunity to make that happen. And then that's, and that would give us more focus. Because now I know why the heck I came. Then it says, you will therefore, this is what you do. If you're in a situation and you want to make something happen, how do you make it happen? Well, this is what it's going to tell us. You will therefore make every effort to overlook what interferes with the accomplishment of your objective, and you will concentrate on everything that helps you meet your objective. So how do I make what I want to happen happen? I try my best to overlook all the stuff that interferes with what I want and concentrate on everything that helps me meet it. So how do you let go of the stuff that interferes with what you want? That's a great question. You concentrate on everything that helps you meet the goal of what you want. Concentrate on what helps you meet what you want is the same as letting go of everything that interferes with it. Because if you're focusing on the thing that will help you achieve your goal, you're not dealing with the distractions. You're just dealing with the thing that will help you get what you want. So if I'm on my way over to the church and someone is trying to get me to go somewhere else, that would be something that's trying to interfere with my goal. What do I want to concentrate? I want to concentrate on staying focused on getting over here to the church in my car, because that would help me accomplish my goal and get me away from the interference. So the way you get past the interference is to concentrate on everything that helps you meet your goal. If I want the goal of peace and want to be in relationships with somebody that's peaceful, and I'm with you and we have a peaceful relationship and a mutual respect for each other, then you're helping me meet my goal. I'm not going to spend all my time dealing with you and you're fighting me all the time, attacking me all the time, arguing me all the time, and doing everything you can to oppose me. But that's not the way the ego does it. This is the way the ego does it. The person that's peaceful, that's helping me meet my goal, I don't give them any attention because they're cool. And I focus all my attention on you that's giving me the hard time and trying to figure out how to get you not to give me a hard time anymore. Anybody recognize that? Okay. All of our attention is on the drama, on the problem, but not on where we're achieving our goal. So my life works just the opposite now. I focus all my attention on what helps me reach my goal of peace. And I take my attention off of what's opposing me all the time and attacking me all the time. And I'm not trying to process with you and work it out unless you're willing to set a positive goal with me that says you want to have peace with me and I want to have peace with you. And we're both willing to concentrate on having that peace instead of constantly arguing with each other. See the difference? We have to have a positive goal that we're going to work through this that we both want to meet if I'm going to deal with you, because then we're helpful to each other. But I'm certainly going to concentrate on what helps me meet the goal. And what helps me meet the goal is you and I having the same goal. So an awakening being does not spend all their time with the people that they're always dealing with crap and conflict with, trying to make it work out. Unless that person also wants a positive, peaceful goal just like you do, and they're willing to recognize that they don't know and you're willing to recognize you don't know, and you're both willing to go beyond your own egos to try to get past it. Relationships do not have to be complex. It's just that if a person wants to punish themselves, they never go for the solutions, because the solutions would make them have peace and they don't think they deserve any. So that's why you see those relationships where people are always, oh, and then never changes, they've been together for 50 years, and it's because that's what they really want. They both hate themselves and don't believe either one of them deserves any kind of happiness. And they're making sure that they're in a partnership that both of them gets the pain that they both think they deserve. And you see them all the time. That's why they're together, and they can't get away. We all know those couples and those friends that they do, and they never can get away. That's why, because both of them don't love themselves, and they're trying to give themselves the punishment that they think they both deserve, and they made a secret vow, the course calls it, to give pain to each other all the time.
Till death do them part.
And usually it's death that does ends up being. But if people love, but as you love yourself more, you just can't do it. One of the side effects of really beginning to change your mind is just you just can't do that stuff anymore. You just don't have the energy that it takes to keep constantly going like you used to. You just don't. It's just not in you no more. So you don't have to worry about it. It'll just fade away as you continue to study this. I promise you, if you keep focusing on the truth, all those habits that you're trying your best to figure out how you're going to change, you're just going to drop them. All of a sudden, it just won't have any value to you anymore. It just doesn't have any value to me to be in a relationship with somebody that I'm constantly feel unfulfilled with, and we don't have any communication, and there's no heart connection, and we're fighting all the time. I don't have any, that has no value to me, because my goal is peace. So see, that would be something that would be interfering with my objective. But if I didn't know what I wanted and just hoped the right person to show up, or I feel like I'm such a slob that nobody can really love me, so I better try to hang on to whoever look like they got the slightest interest in me no matter what, then I'm going to stay in situations that are horrible for me because of my own lack of self-esteem. So how do I solve my relationship problem? I love myself more. How do I love myself more? I need to reinforce the idea that I'm lovable. How do I reinforce the idea that I'm lovable? Surround myself with people who share the same goal. It's just that easy. But it's not easy in the sense that if I don't love myself, I don't have enough discipline to do that. If I don't love myself, I won't come to a place where people will support me. I'll be miserable and then call some of my miserable friends. And so let's come over together and have a pity party together. Let's go out and have a drink and talk about how miserable our lives are together. And as creators, we just create more misery for each other. So after we end up being together for an evening, we magnetize more crap than ever. Thanks a lot. Or you can do just the opposite and go, I know I got some crappy thoughts. I know I got some thoughts that limit me. I need to let go of these thoughts. So therefore, I'm going to set the positive goal of being around more positive people and more positive things that remind me that I do deserve to be loved. And I know I got a habit of not doing that. So therefore, I have to be in my wheel enough to go, I know that I have a tendency to slack off when I say I'm going to change, but I really want to experience joy in my life enough that I'm going to overrule my ego that says, oh, I'm tired, I don't feel like doing it tonight. Let me go watch some TV. Proactive. So how do you get the discipline to do this? And the Course says, well, it's just a matter of motivation. So, therefore, you just have to go after what you really want in your heart, because what you really want in your heart, nobody has to force you to do. Something you really want to do, you just be glad to do it. The reason why people have discipline problems is that most of the time they're not doing what they really want to do. Does that make sense? If you're not doing what you want to do with your life, you're not going to have a lot of discipline about doing the things you need to do all day, because nothing that you're doing all day is really what you really want to do. So you have to force yourself, we call that discipline, force yourself to do what you don't want to do. But the Course says, well, it's easier if you do what you will. And then people don't believe that if you actually did what you really want to do in your heart, that all the other stuff would start to harmonize itself. Because it would have to. Because once you set a goal, everything has to help bring that goal about. That's the way the universe operates. So it's more important to be focused on your goal than to be focused on how to achieve it. Actually, the how is none of your business. What's your business is, what do you want? What is it for? All right, I'm going to stop right here. Would you acknowledge yourself for living your needs? Holy Spirit. If you walk out of here tonight with just the idea of being more conscious of what you want to come out of a situation, then you would have gotten the power of this meeting tonight, and you'll see miracles happen in your life. Thank you for sharing with me financially. I teach the Course full time. That's what I do in the world, to earn a living from God and through God. And so thank you for your donations to me and to the church. Pass that around, darling. It's simple. Remember that I have to learn how to apply it in specific situations. And then after I get used to applying it to specific situations, I start applying the truth to every situation. I need to remember that in every relationship that I'm in, and every situation that I'm in, I need to first ask myself, what is it for? What's the purpose of it? So if somebody comes up to you and asks you for your phone number, you say, what for? I want to go out with you. Why? I mean, it sounds funny to say that, but that's exactly what you should do. You should say, what do you want to be with me for? Why do you want to hang out with me? Why do you want to be my friend? What is it that you'd like to achieve with me? Then we know how to evaluate the relationship. You know, then the next thing I need to understand, if I'm the kind of person that never sets a goal, I should also just be willing to accept that I'm the kind of person that looks like stuff just happening to me all the time, and I don't know why. Okay? Then I need to remember that always talking about what I don't want is not the same as asking for what I do want. And so if I don't want things to just happen to me, I need to set that positive goal. And I need to remember that if I'm in a situation that seems like it just happened to me, I shouldn't try to figure out what it meant, because I didn't have a goal in the first place about what it should have meant. So don't spend time trying to figure out why did that happen to me, because you're going to be wrong. Because you're going to say, the reason why it happened to me was that that person didn't treat me right. And the court says, you're wrong. You know why you're wrong? Because the reason why that happened to you is because you didn't have a clear-cut positive goal in the beginning, listening to your Holy Spirit. That's why it happened to you. It didn't have nothing to do with that person. That's why it says, and you will be wrong. Because what we're going to do usually, it says some external situation that didn't go the way you want it to go, and that's why I'm going through this. And that's why it says you will be wrong. Because that is not what caused the situation. Who can tell me what caused the situation? Not having a positive goal in the first place. That's why it happened. I need to remember that. Because I need to remember that if I'm in a situation, then that situation should be seen as an opportunity for me to meet my goal. And when I see a situation as the opportunity for me to meet my goal, then I'm now using that situation properly. So if my goal is to love you guys and to care more about you and practice the truth with you and remember with you, that's exactly what I just used this hour for. I used this hour as an opportunity to make that happen. So therefore, I used this hour correctly. And now I can evaluate whether or not I achieved my goal, because I know what the goal is. Now, if my goal was to use an hour for us to discuss the truth together, and I knew that was my goal, now I can look back on what happened with us and go, you know what? I achieved my goal. What happened was what I wanted to happen. See what I mean? Why? Because I had a goal when the class started of sharing the truth with you. But if I didn't have a goal, I wouldn't know how to judge what just happened for the last hour. Then I have to judge. Did I like you guys or not? Is this enjoyable or wasn't it? So that's what you do. When you don't have a goal, it just comes down to, do I like it or not? When you're a goalless person, your whole life is about, do I like it or not? If you're a person with a goal, then you know whether or not you achieve your outcome that you wanted. But I need to remember that. So that's why we come together, because in the world you don't hear normally what I just said. So we come together so that we can be reminded of that, because when we leave out the door, there's going to be a big temptation to go into the amnesia of forgetting and being back in the world and being programmed by the news and newspapers and what the people around us are saying, and we forget that we're powerful creators. So we do need to come together like we are right now to remember it. And that's why I'm here. That's the purpose of everything I do. Because if you remember it, you know it's already there. And if it's already there, you can use it immediately. If I forget I'm Earl Purdy, and I can play saxophone, but I forget I'm Earl Purdy, then I forget I can play saxophone. If I remember I'm Earl Purdy, I don't have to go to a music class to play saxophone. I will immediately remember how to play, because I already learned. Y'all follow what I'm saying? That's what the Course is trying to tell us. Everything we want is already in us. All the power, all the awareness, all the skills, all the talents are already in. But we have forgotten that we are creators. And so we're not aware of our power and how to use it. But as soon as I remember I'm Earl Purdy, I'll also remember how to play my horn. As soon as you remember you're a child of God, you'll remember how to create everything that you would like to have for your joy. And you already have the ability to do it. But you just forgot. Just like I forgot I could play my horn. It's the same thing. So it's easier than how we're making it. All we have to do is remember we're innocent. We're not guilty. We're not unloved. We're innocent. Okay. I'll see you the next time you come. I appreciate that.
Appreciate you. Appreciate your real self.
Hugs are available. And like I said, the AMT sign up is here. And I love you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
welcome, brother.